We welcome you back for the second lesson on No New Commandment. We are studying in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment, which is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. And we found that in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 18. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then in verse number 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. And we wondered, how did we understand this? In verse 7, no new commandment. But then in verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in him and in you? The things that make you understand what he's talking about is the word old in verse number 7. It's under the old Mosaic law. It's under the old covenant. It's under the Old Testament. It is that which was commanded us under the Old Testament. But it's the same wording. It's the same commandment as that one was. So it's really not new. But since all things have been made new by the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ and the sending of the Holy Ghost, it's now like a new commandment, even though it's of the same words. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Now, he didn't say in him and in you in verse number 7 when he's talking about the old commandment of Moses. The commandment in on the Old Testament under Moses was not in him and in you. Who is him? Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ has come now, and the commandment is true in him. He loved, and now it's true in you, and now he loves in and through you. So it's like it's altogether new. And we read in John chapter 13, verse number 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So until the Lord Jesus Christ came, they could not see and behold how he loved them. Also, they could not themselves possess the Spirit of God, who was sent at Pentecost, who will then love through them, love in them, and as God loves. That's why it's important to read the word old in verse 7, referring to Moses' commandment, and then in him and in you, quote unquote, in verse number 8, because it's now done in the Holy Ghost through you and in the Lord Jesus Christ through you. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. It's the same love. And now he says, he finishes verse 8, because the darkness is past. The darkness is past. John said something has transpired so much. It has so taken place that it's like darkness is gone, like the night is over with. The darkness of sin is done. Jesus cried on the cross, and as recorded in John 19:30, it is finished. That's what he's talking about. That darkness of sin and transgression against God is finished. It's over and done with. It's paid for. And now he says, because, here's the reason, the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. So we have come out of the darkness, wherein it was a bare command, and we could not keep it to the fullness of the spirituality that God would have us to. So it's like an old commandment. But I'm going to write the same words, but it's altogether new, because now Jesus has come, and the darkness is past, and the light has now come. And he said, the true light now has come. He said, those that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And the Jesus Christ has come, and that darkness is over and done with. And he said, because the darkness is past, the moral blindness, sin is done, is past, and the true light now shineth. Now, let's go back to chapter 1 of 1 John 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, God is light. That God is light. Well, if the true light has now come and God is light, then God has come. That's why the commandment is like it's brand new, because we never have had the presence of God, not only incarnate here on earth walking around, but also God in us as we are regenerate, and now we have God in us living in and through and for us. And as the Apostle Paul said, as we read in Galatians 2:20, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20. So now the Spirit of God has come to dwell within us, dwelling with us and in us, and now that darkness is past in us, and the true light now shineth. That's what he is telling us. Now, to understand this, we need to go to Revelation 21. Now, we need to understand and perceive how to study and read the book of the Revelation. Most of the books and the helps that you get for sale in the bookstores today will not help you. In fact, they will hurt you because they have been brainwashed by this old millennialistic system, premillennial, postmillennial, all millennial. All of that junk has entered in, and it is poisoned men's minds. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 19, John was commanded to write the things which thou hast seen. That's chapters 1 through 3. He said, and the things which are in chapters, write the things which thou hast seen, that's chapter number 1, and the things which are, that's chapters 2 and 3, about the seven churches in Asia, that's the way they are, and the things which shall be thereafter, beginning with chapter 4, come up hither, and I'll show you glorious things of the Spirit. That was not the rapture of the church at the end of the age. That was the spiritualizing of the church at the beginning of the age. See? We've been brainwashed. We've been lied to. So those things are important to see. And I wanted to preface chapter 21. We're just going to read 6 verses and show you how that John could say this is a new commandment, although it has been written from the beginning. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So John begins to see a new residing place, a new arena of faith upon which the elect of God could live. The old things had passed away. There was something that happened that translated it from the old economy to the new economy. That's what John was seeing when he wrote these 2 verses in 1 John 2, verse 7 and 8. So now in the book of the Revelation, he says, first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The sea is that which divided the nations. So God is going to bring it all back into one in Christ Jesus, not the physical nations of the earth, the ground and the mountains and the oceans and all that is going to be restructured and put back together, but the place where God dwells in his church. There was no more sea, no more separation, but there was a river that flowed from the throne of God. Now, verse 2, and I, John, same John that wrote 1 John 2, 7 and 8, I, John, saw the holy city. The church is a city, New Jerusalem, not Old Jerusalem, physical, literal Jerusalem on the map, but New Jerusalem, the church. Where did it come from? Coming down from God. When did that happen? In Acts chapter 2. the Holy Spirit descending from heaven, brought together and formed and brought into being the church of God. It was prepared as a bride, already adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Now God's going to dwell with men. 4,000 years, he sent prophets. Hebrews chapter 1 tells you God has at past times spoke to us by the prophets, hath now in these last days spoken to us through his Son. So there's a difference in how he dealt in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he says, here now in the New Testament, since the church has been brought down from God out of heaven by the Holy Ghost on Pentecost, then God tabernacles with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And we sing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. That's what this is talking about. All right, verse 4, going to be very personal. God is very personal. He cares about your sorrows. He cares about your tears. Individual Christian, God shall wipe away your tears. You may go to church and get some comfort from a song from somebody that sings a solo or the congregation. You may go to the church and get some comfort from the preacher, from the preaching of the word, or your favorite Christian brother or sister in the Lord. But initially and finally, the comfort comes from God, because Jesus said, "I will send you another comforter." So the only two comforters you have is Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. So God is going to wipe away your tears. He may use men. There may be good preachers, good people, good singers, good brothers and sisters in the Lord that help you immensely. But it is finally and foremost, it comes from God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Read John chapter 5. He said, the hour is coming and now is when those that hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. They shall come forth in regeneration. They shall come out of death into life. And God begins to save his people. And no more sorrow nor crying. It's not that they don't have sorrowful things happening to them, but it won't be the sorrow unto death and those kinds of things in the Old Testament. God comforts his people greatly in this New Testament hour. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Yes, we have pain, like, you know, she fell and broke her arm and had to go to the hospital and get it put in the cast. There was pain in that. Yep, he had appendicitis and there was pain in that. Not talking about that. It's talking about the pain like they suffer in the Old Testament, not even knowing about the resurrection. And that was all the way up to the time of Lazarus. They didn't even know about the resurrection because Jesus stood and looked them square in the eye and told Martha and Mary, "I am the resurrection. If you believed in me, you will see the glory of God." And they didn't know what he was talking about. And it says they didn't know, the Old Testament people didn't know, until the Holy Ghost came. So, dear friend, you're living in a blessed hour and a blessed day. The old commandments, the letter of the law killeth. It's the spirit of the word that bringeth life. You're in the word, in the world where God makes the things spiritual and brings them to life. So former things are passed away, and you better be glad you don't even know what it was like back then. Listen. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Jesus Christ got on the throne after he died for our sins. And let me read that to you. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1. And it said, "He that sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. Christ being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins." When did he himself purge our sins? As far as I can tell, The cross wasn't a bicycle built for two. There's only one man hanging on it. He himself, by himself, purged our sins. What's the next two words? Sat down. No high priest ever sat down. Why? Because it was impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. I don't care how many bulls, how many goats they sacrificed, not one sin was covered. So they couldn't sit down. It was always going on. But when Jesus had purged our sins by himself, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Revelation 21 and verse number 5 says, he that sat upon the throne, Jesus Christ, finished all things. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Darkness is past. The light now shineth. The devil is defeated. He destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us who through fear of death were all of our lifetime subject to bondage. He did that on his cross. So he that sat upon the throne after he had purged our sins, he said, behold, I make all things new. That included this commandment. So John says, I know it's commanded from the very beginning. It's recorded in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18. But now all things are new. All things are different. Christ now has finished the work that God gave him to do. It is finished. John 19:30. And so he brings forth divine redemption, and he satisfies the Father, and he has the authority now to pray and ask the Father after he ascends to heaven to send us the Holy Spirit and comfort us. And now the Holy Spirit comes, and he makes the darkness to pass out of our hearts, out of our minds, makes all things new, and he delivers us unto life and makes us see the light of the glory of God. The true light now appears. And what's the rest of Revelation 21:5? And he, who is that? Jesus. That's who's dictating this book. Said unto me, who is that? John. And what did he say to me? What did Jesus say to John? One word, write. So, 1 John 2:7-8, I write no new commandment. It's the old commandment that you heard from the beginning. I'm writing, Lord. Verse number 8, but I'm writing a new commandment because it's now, the darkness is now past, and I want you to know I'm writing this because this thing is true in him and in you. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. He will bring forth this love that we're talking about that was never brought forth in the heart and life of anybody until he finished the work that God gave him to do and sent the Comforter, and he commanded John in Revelation 21:5, write. But I want you to understand something, John. I know the first part of your life as a Jew in Israel, you were under the law. I want you to know and understand you were raised up in a household that taught you the law. But now I want you to understand I'm glad that I wanted you to be raised up under that law. I wanted you to hide my word in your heart. But I wanted to now to spiritualize it. I wanted to actuate it. I wanted to bring it to pass. I wanted to bring the spiritual man to focus upon that and you to understand. Yes, I'm not doing away with the law and the prophets. That's what Jesus said. I don't come to destroy the law and the prophets. That old commandment, I'm leaving it with you. But I want you to understand this. It's new now. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come. We were haters of other men. Titus 3 and verse 2 says, but what happened? But after that, the kindness and love of God appeared. We had the example to show us what love is all about. We had the sovereign love of God himself, the person of love. God is love. And he brought love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So John, Revelation 21:5, write. For these words are now, they're faithful and they're true. So we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. So we are to worship God through these spiritual words. Things that we did not see, but only as literal in the old economy. What are you talking about? It's like I said. The law said, thou shalt not kill. But the word of Christ, the law of Christ said, if you hate your brother in your heart, you're guilty of murder. You see, there was a spiritual concept of this. And when God says, thou shalt not kill, it does not just mean thou shalt not kill others, but you shall not commit suicide yourself. You are to take care of you. Why? Because of all the animals in all of the universe and all the plants and all everything that there is nothing that's made in the image of God but man. And to kill out a human being is to spit in God's face. And that's why we can't get up on any day of the week, hardly anymore, without reading or seeing that some idiot has taken a gun and gone to Walmart or the post office and shot as many people as he could. That's the devil come up on the top of the ground. That's the devil on the top of the earth. Those people are demon possessed and they want to kill out the image of God. The devil cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, Jesus said. So all this killing that's going on is trying to destroy the image of God out of man's existence, out of the earth, off the face of the earth. I'll get it right in a minute. So we see, let's go back to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true now because it's in him, Christ has lived it, and that's in you because the Holy Spirit is living it in you. That's how you understand this. Because the darkness is past. It was in him because the darkness is past. It's in you because the darkness is past. It is true in him because the true light now shineth. So we understand and see. In the old economy, there was the word. It was the law of Moses. But it was the law of God. It's not going to be destroyed. I came not to destroy the law, but that the law in me might be fulfilled. And dear soul, it's still wrong to murder. It's still wrong to cheat. It's still wrong to steal. It's still wrong to commit adultery. It's still wrong to do all these things, to covet. Nothing has been destroyed. But there is now a spiritual understanding of this, so much so that it is like a new commandment. And we begin to see the richness of the law of God. God did not say, okay, everybody throw away the Old Testament. First time you ever had a Bible, you had the Old and New Testaments in it. That was God bringing you over into understanding the old from the into the new. And he brings these things into you and shows you that the darkness is past. Now you have the light, the true light. And God is light, according to 1 John 1, 5. Now, what do we understand by this? If the old is not to be destroyed, but is to be understood in a new way, for I make all things new, then how do we understand this about the light? Before we go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, and you can be turning there if you will, we understand that John wrote in John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light. Now, if the true light hath appeared, and God is light, that means God hath appeared. And now, Jesus said, I didn't come to write the law on tables of stone. That's what Moses did. I came to write the law in your heart. God begins to, as it were, inscribe upon the tablets of our heart the actuality of the spiritual law, the spirit of the word, and not just the letter. So God is light. All right, now go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3. In beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon or brooded upon the face of the waters. And God said, there's God's word, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God is good. We learn that as children. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. God is good. How do you know that? Because God said he's good. And we have that testimony. And God saw the light and it was good. And God divided, separated the light from the darkness. You say, yep, sun comes up, we get up and start about our daily work. Sun goes down, go back to bed and get our rest and sleep. It's divided. So the beginning of all this is that which God showed in the physical of that which he was going to bring about in the spiritual. The darkness is past. The true light now appeareth. And so we can begin to love like God loved. Now, if you will notice, and nobody ever taught me this except the Holy Spirit, and that is in my latter years of being a Christian. But that wasn't the S-U-N in Genesis 1:3. It was the S-O-N. How do you know that? Because John said in 1 John 1:5, God is light. And John said in 1 John 2:8, the darkness is over and done with, and the light, the true light, now appeareth. So here we have it. Well, how can you say it's the S-O-N? Well, if you'll read your Bible, beginning with Genesis 1:14, all the way down to Genesis 1:19, that's the fourth day of creation. And if you will read carefully, that which was created in the fourth day, it was the sun and the moon and the stars. So the S-U-N was not created till the fourth day. But the light appeared on the first day. God is allowing us to see, thank the Lord. We were blinded for so many years under, I hate to say it, but under the old whore church. They didn't know God from third base. All they knew was religion, program, tradition, practice, duty. But they didn't know God. And I'm so thankful God called us out of that and called the darkness out of us and us out of that darkness and made us see, wait a minute. God is preeminent. God is Alpha. That ought to have told us something. He didn't wait to be created on the fourth day. In fact, he wasn't created. It just said, let there be. It wasn't that he created the Son of God. It's that he brought him forth. And his life was the light of men. And so here we have God revealing to us the darkness is past. The darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, the word spoke, let there be. And the sun, S-O-N, appeared. And the glory of God began to bring forth life in his light. That's the way that it was. Revelation 21. Because we didn't know that, we didn't know how to look at this. Revelation 21, verse number 11. This city, New Jerusalem, the church, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, which was made on the fourth day, nor of the moon, which was made on the fourth day, to shine in it. The church, the New Jerusalem, has no need for artificial light. Listen. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You say, well, one of these days I'm going to heaven. Okay. All right, let's grant you that. If you're born again, truly you are. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You will be glorified as you see him. What do you expect it to be like? Well, I don't know exactly. But I think it'll be sunshine and won't be no rain and thunderstorms and all that. Really? Yeah. Well, I hate to, as it were, rain on your parade, but they're not going to be a S-U-N. Because God never intended for the artificial S-U-N to be that which would be eternal. It is just that which was created to show you the glory of God is that which shines upon you and lights your life. Because like I said, when God said, let there be light in Genesis 1:3, it wasn't the sun he brought forth, S-U-N. He didn't create that till the fourth day. He let 3 days go by before he ever made the S-U-N. Well, what light was there that he created in? You know, it said, can you see this? Well, bring that light over here a little bit closer. I got to do this. You need more light. You're going to create something. You're going to fix something. But there wasn't any light for 3 days. Then what do we understand by that? Well, we should understand that God brought forth himself, the visibility, the tangibility of God is Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If you have ever seen, if you ever will see Jesus, you're seeing God. No man has seen God at any time. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, he dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. It hath us. Have I been so long with you, and thou hast not seen me? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. For I and the Father are one. So, bringing forth the light in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 was bringing forth and introducing to us the eternal Son of God who always has been and always will be. He didn't have to get here at Bethlehem in order to be here. He was already here long before he got here. Go figure that one out. Let there be light. And he says the darkness is past. And the light, the true light, now shineth. Revelation 21 and now verse 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Of what? The light of the glory of God and the light of the Lamb. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And what are they but the sun, moon, and stars? And they're just the reflection of God. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 24. Isaiah chapter 24, in verse number 23. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun ashamed when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion, that's the church, and in Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. When God comes to reign gloriously in that which old Jerusalem figured, which was the true church, in that which is called Mount Zion, which is the true church, read Hebrews chapter 12, and you will come and understand and see that God's glory is going to lighten the church, and it will, that having happened, will confound the moon and make the sun ashamed. You think the sun is bright. You say, boy, that moon sure is bright tonight. Look how it's shining. We can just see almost like daylight. That ain't nothing compared to what it's going to be when we see the glory of God in eternity. And you already got a prefiguring of that within you as God has made all things new. All right. Revelation 22. Oh, no, I already read that. Isaiah chapter 60. I haven't already read that. We'll read that in just a minute. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 19. Isaiah 60, 19. When you call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise, verse 18, then in verse 19, the sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God will be thy glory. Isn't that good? Thy sun shall no more go down. Isn't that good? Neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Isn't that good? So we already have dwelling in us the light of life, who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the prefiguring of that which eternity shall be. I need to read you Revelation 22, 5. And there shall be no night there, talking about the church. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 said, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're reigning in the spirit, in the spiritual realm now. And that which governs us, warms us, lightens us, wipes away our tears, removes all sorrows, takes death far from us, is the presence of the indwelling Christ by the Holy Spirit. The darkness is past, and the true light, John said, now shineth. Isn't that good? Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. That's the way that it is. Luke chapter 2. The book of Luke chapter 2. The old brother is down at the temple, and God has promised him that he's not going to die until he sees God's son, the incarnate God, the salvation of the true church. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 30. Verse 29, lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This old boy knew, as he was promised, excuse me, by the Holy Ghost, as you read in verse 26, he knew that Jesus Christ was the light of God. He is the salvation of God. He will lighten the Gentiles, and he will be the glory of the people of Israel. The light and the glory will be the one and the same thing unto all of God's people. Then John chapter 1, the book of John chapter 1, we're just looking at the light. The darkness is past. The true light now appears. 1 John chapter 4, no, it's not chapter 4, chapter 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when God said, let there be light, he was calling forth the life of men, the light of the world, the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, how does every individual that has ever been born have intelligence? Whatever degree of intelligence it might be, how do they have intelligence? John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. His life was the light of men. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Dear soul, you would do well to close with Jesus. You would do well to get acquainted with and embrace the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is your intelligence. When he says, take the talent from him and cast him into outer darkness, he removes that which he was to those people who would not believe in him, who spit in his face, who rammed a spear in his side, who pressed thorns upon his head, who said that he was full of the devil and that he was not the Messiah. He shall then take the talent from them. He shall take and remove the intelligence from them. He shall remove the light of life from them, and they shall be cast into outer darkness. The only other word I could find when I looked up that word outer darkness was the word without. And one of the places where it is shown is there when Peter comes and he gets inside the compound where they're holding Jesus. And it says, and Peter stood without and warmed himself by their fires. Here we see Peter in darkness. Here we see Peter in the company of those who are crucifying his Savior. Here we see Peter receiving light and warmth from the world's fires. Dangerous place. That's that word, outer darkness. Peter stood without. And dear soul, Jesus told him that he would. And he said, I'm going to have a little old preacher, little old Benny Rooster preacher, take care of you. You say you'll go with me till the death and you never deny me. I'm going to tell you that little old Benny Rooster ain't going to crow but three times, and you'll be denied me three times. And it cost Peter everything. He went out and wept bitterly. And Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? Jesus wanted him to know that the love of God in his heart was doubted by God because he stood without. And he would rather have the fires for light and warmth of the world than those with Christ. That's rough. That's rough. So we understand and see, dear soul, that the light of the world is Jesus. His life is the light of men. he is the, quote, true light that John is speaking about in 1 John 2:8 that's come into the world, and it has dispelled darkness. Therefore, this commandment that was given in the era of darkness should now be seen. Bring it out and show it, and let's see it in the revelation of the true light of God. Wow, it looks like a new commandment, but it's not. It's the same old commandment. It's just different because the true light has now come. Look at Psalm 104. I love this verse. Psalm 104, verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. What garment is that that's clothed with honor and majesty? Who covereth thyself with light as with a garment. Isn't that something? It said Peter and James and John went up on the mount. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. And suddenly his inner glory began to come through, and his outer garments began to shine so great that no washwoman could get them that clean. Well, it says no fuller's soap could get them that clean. And it was the inner glory of God Almighty shining forth like it did on the first day of creation. Let there be light. And there was. And his light was the life of men. You have to have light for plants to grow. You have to have light for all the creation to be able to be manifest. And Jesus Christ, the Alpha, was the light that came forth in his. He giveth every man light that cometh into the world. Give them natural intelligence and the ability to perceive and understand and reason and contemplate. But dear soul, if that is not used for the glory of God, one day he's going to say, take the talent from them and cast them into outer darkness. Oh, my soul. Dear soul, there's some things that I did not know how important they were and how precious they were to me until I lost them. And that's a horrible thing to understand that you did it. You messed up and you lost it. And you may not ever get it back, whatever it was. But there's one thing that I don't ever want to experience is the loss of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and to hear him who is light say, take the light of honor and glory from him and put him into outer darkness, because now he has inner darkness and it only goes with outer darkness. Oh, I don't ever want to hear that. Move on, preacher. This is too scary. Don't talk about that sort of thing. It'll make you appreciate Jesus. It'll make you quit being so flippant, so lackadaisical about Jesus. It'll make you learn to love him more. It'll make you understand that all you ever have had is Jesus. You don't have anything except Jesus is that for you and has given it to you, and he keeps it for you. Don't lose him. He said, beware lest any man take thy crown. Be careful, dear soul. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He puts on light as with a garment. God clothed himself with the garment of Christ. God clothed himself with the garment of honor and majesty. Oh, my soul, no man has seen God at any time, but we see Jesus. Thank God for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could have never, ever known, perceived, understood, approached Almighty, eternal God, though he has always existed, except we see Jesus. Talking about the light, Psalm 36, verse number 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. That's what I've been trying to talk about. How do you know and see God? I see God in Christ. Christ has given me the vision. He has cleared up my eyes, darkened by sin. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. How did you come to know and perceive and understand the being and the essence of eternal, glorious God? No man has seen God at any time. He dwells in a light that no man can approach unto. But we see Jesus. He came to where you were. He came in how you are. He became man that he might manifest God in mankind, which is the hope of glory. And he came, dear soul, and stood among us and beamed out the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and made us understand who God was and what God was all about. Some people say, well, I wish I could see God. I'd like to see God the Father. Read your Bible. Jesus Christ is everything that God would have us to know about himself. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, my soul, time's getting by. In thy light shall we see light. Now go to John 8. We have to finish up. John 8. And verse 12. Jesus was so faithful to us in stating in this verse two different aspects of the light. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again. Thank you, Lord. We might not have been listening the first time. We might have been distracted the first time. We might have been texting the first time. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am. Now, when Jesus says, I am, you need to listen to it. I am the door. I am the bread. I am the true shepherd. I am the vine, and so forth. Listen. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And beside that, you should put a reference to John 1:9. I'm the light of the world. What does it mean? You got enough ability to know one and one is two? Jesus gave you that ability. You got enough ability to know to put your trousers on your legs and your shirt on your shoulders? Jesus Christ gave you that. I am the light of the world. Listen. Then, there is a colon right there. Now, a semicolon doesn't make you stop as long as a colon. A period makes you stop longer than a colon and a semicolon. A comma doesn't make you stop as long as a colon. So, there is enough of a pause here for God to make you understand, I'm fixing to say something along the same line, but it's different. Okay, number one, I am the light of the world. Number two, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. Now, wait a minute. You should underline in your mind, if you don't underline things in your Bible, and I do, it's just a textbook, two different things. Number one, underline the light of the world. Number two, underline the light of life. And then get on your knees and contemplate and ask God and meditate on, Lord, what were you saying to me in these two things? separated by a punctuation mark that made me pause longer than a comma, longer than a semicolon. It's almost like two different sentences, but yet it's not. It's a colon there to make you understand we're going to keep on in the same vein of thought, but it's going to be like two different things. In the first aspect, I'm going to speak on the light of the world. John 1:9, that was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Natural light, intellect, understanding, perception. I am the light of the world. Okay, number two. You can have the light of the world and die and go to hell. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. 1 John 2:8 says, the darkness is past. The darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, if you will listen to what God said, the word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and the ability to hear comes by the word of God. Listen, if you will listen to God, use that light of perception, intelligence, intellect to come to Jesus. Then he says, you will not walk in darkness, but shall have the not just the light of the world, but the light of life. What is that? Salvation. Eternal life. Personal relationship with him. Understanding why this is a new commandment, because now it is seen to be in him and in you. That the light that I now have is the light of Jesus Christ in my soul. He puts on light as with a garment. God puts on me the holy garment of righteousness. And dear soul, what are you doing here without a wedding garment on? Cast this man out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Use your intellectual light. Use your natural light. Use everything provided you with every fiber of your being to come to Jesus. Don't learn to read your Bible and never understand and perceive the word. I was a lost church member for 7 years. I knew the books of the Bible. I understood various passages in the Bible and had memorized them. But I didn't know the Lord. 7 years after I was baptized into the First Baptist Church in Eufaula, Alabama, God saved me in a little Baptist church in Southwest Atlanta. Came into my heart, and boy, was there a difference. And I'm glad he did it that way so I can warn you. I experienced it. I know what I'm talking about. You can be a baptized church member and die and go to hell, but you cannot be a lover of the light and a receiver of the life that is in Jesus Christ and ever be separated from God. You will never know darkness again. It's no new commandment, but it's brand new if you receive it in Jesus Christ. Thank you for your patience.